In those days, the crest was in service to the Shade, protectors of Heartvale. There was a time when the crest did not sell its services, when they were not mercenaries. They were the hallowed crest and talon of Kiest, and they marched at the command of their goddess, bringing order where there was chaos, and chaos where there was order. In all things, balance. Why then, you might wonder, are we mercenaries now, selling our services to the highest bidder? Gods rise, and gods fall. Powers shift, worshippers fall away, and gods die. This is a truth our company has endured. Some people place their trust in the gods, others in magic, and yet others in their wealth and power. The crest has seen it all, and we have learned that the only thing that lasts, that survives, is the crest. So far, gods, magic, and wealth have not been able to destroy us. Lord Defara's estate is well guarded, and in order to steal this artifact, we have secured invitations to his grand fate. Tonight, the crest will defy a dead god and steal his artifact. Just another day for the crest. Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures. As always, I'm your game master and solo player, Steve Morrison. On this week's episode, Ben infiltrates Bakio Defara's grand fate to steal the Eye of Vargosh. Find out what happens on episode 16, Party Plans. In the Defara estate, Ben studies this artifact that is weeping sap out into a bowl. He hears the stones around him whispering for him to take hold of this artifact, to seize it and make it his own. He feels the very real danger of this artifact before him, this temptation for power. He shudders as he tries to tear his gaze away from it, and I am going to roll plus steady as Ben faces duress. Here we go. 2d6 plus 2. 6 on the dice plus 2 is an 8. On a 7 and 9, you have flinched, stalled, or hesitated. You can achieve your goal, but it'll come at a price. You can achieve your goal, but only partially. You cannot achieve your goal, but can do something similar instead. So his goal is to leave, to walk away from this artifact that is tempting him to do something very foolish. And I think he can achieve his goal, but it's going to come at a price. So I think he is going to take a harm from this. And it's a psychological, mental harm, as those voices are calling on him to take hold of this artifact. He cups his forehead in his hand and shakes his head and pulls back away from this pedestal. And I'm going to mark a harm down for that as he retreats and makes his way back to the carts where Arid is still helping unload. When he returns to the cart, I think Arid gives him a look and says, "Are you all right, my friend?" And Ben simply shakes his head, trying very hard not to vomit all over the cart in front of him. They finish unloading the barrels and make their way out of the estate, heading back to Merrick's brewery, where they drop off the carts, and then Ben and Arid make their way back to the Crow's Nest. At the Crow's Nest, Ben finds Iron Gall and says, "Sergeant, may we have a word?" Iron Gall says, "Of course. What's going on?" Ben says, "I don't know that we can steal this artifact. Not alone, at least. I'm afraid that it is very powerful, and I'm worried that it may cause problems when trying to recover it." And he goes on to explain his experience with it. And I think as he's explaining this, Arid grows more and more concerned, and he says, "I wonder if that is the sense that I have been getting from Lord Defara. If he has handled it, it is possible it has gotten hold of him in some way. Perhaps given him an additional sense that is not natural." Iron Gall takes this in and says, "I've been wondering if it was going to come to this. If you don't think you can break in and steal it in the night, we're going to have to take it in the day. Basically in front of everyone." Ben nods and says, "Yes, the fate. We have to get in. We have to take it while there are guests present. Even better if we can replace it with something that will seem like a facsimile. I can describe it, and maybe we can devise something." Iron Gall nods and says, "I figured it was going to come to this, so I have already taken the liberty of acquiring some invitations to this party."
"Excellent. What is the plan, then?"
Iron Gall says, "The invitations are for the captain, the lieutenant, and the analyst. They will make their way into the party and mingle with everyone, and you and Arid will be their footmen. You will serve them at whatever leisure they have, and while everyone else is paying attention to the party, you will sneak away and steal the artifact. If you find that it is beyond Arid's capabilities, the lieutenant will be present. You will have to summon her to help you with this." Ben nods and says, "I understand."
"Good. Rest up, then. Party's tomorrow."
So that is a good place to end that scene. as they are going to prepare to infiltrate the grand fate of Bakio Defara. So the chaos factor is once again going to go up because of that experience with the artifact and just the general chaos that could come through in this event. So the next scene is going to be infiltrate the party and steal the artifact. Pretty straightforward. Chaos rank of 7. Let's go ahead and roll our D10 and see how this scene setup plays out. An 8, which is above the chaos factor. So we are going to go ahead and let this scene setup play out as expected. It is the evening of the grand fete at Bakio Defara's estate. Ben and Arid stand together in the common room of the Crow's Nest, ready to undertake this mission to steal the artifact. As they are waiting, they are both dressed in fine clothing provided by the Crest. They do not carry any weapons on them, although Ben has a number of tools secreted around his person, hidden from the prying eyes of any guards that might inspect him. Tools that will help in their mission tonight. Arid, as usual, has his innate talent, and tonight he has a worried expression on his face. After all, this will be the third time going close to this estate that holds this powerful magic that keeps thwarting his own attempts to use his magic and that continues to draw attention to him. Iron Gull waits with them, not dressed in any finery, but waiting nonetheless. Then the captain emerges, Captain Netheridge, dressed in a fine military coat with a number of decorations and other symbols of his time leading the Crest. He looks like a war leader, a soldier, a captain. Lefalia, Grand Sorceress of the Crest, also enters the room, and she is dressed to kill in a fine dress that accentuates her beauty and also her danger. Accompanying them is a woman that Ben has only had a few brief interactions with. Primarily, she was the one who wrote his name in the annals of the Crest when he swore his oath and joined them a few months back. She is also wearing a military outfit, much like the captain's, and it does little to hide the muscles rippling beneath the surface. Ben has heard stories of Saga, once a sergeant in the Crest, before taking on the role of analyst. There are few warriors within the Crest who are more feared and more respected than Saga. With their group assembled, the captain looks around and says, "Is everyone clear on what's happening tonight?" They all nod. And then he turns to Saga and says, any wise words to lead us out? She snaps her fingers and another crest approaches with a thick, heavy tome, which she takes and opens. She scans down a page and then she begins to read. In those days, the crest was in service to Alistair Kalismar II of Resden. On the night of his daughter's wedding, assassins of the Rin Ovre attempted to slay the king and his family. Having been forewarned, the king hired us to be present at the party. We remained vigilant despite the revelry, and the assassins were quickly dispatched, though Avarice lost her hand to a necrotic touch by one of their mages. The king was well pleased with us, and we continued in his service for another year. She closes the book and says, it would seem that the lesson here is that vigilance pays all. Let us all be vigilant tonight. We do not know what enemies we may find in there. Let us be cautious and wise in our manner. And in all things, let us keep our hands. The captain chuckles a little bit and says, excellent. Well, let's move out. And they leave the crow's nest and make their way into the carriage that will carry them to Bakio Defara's estate for this evening of revelry and intrigue. When the carriage rolls up the cobblestone road of the Howl to where Bakio Defara's estate lies, there are already a number of people present, waiting to pass through into the party. There are lights aplenty in the courtyard beyond the hedges, and they can hear the sound of laughter and merrymaking underway. As they pull up, they can see a number of nobles walking down the streets from their own estates. Some are even being carried in palanquin, which brings once again Ben back to memories of his childhood. And as they emerge, there is a little bit of interest in who these figures are emerging out of this carriage. The captain and Saga, in their military uniforms, certainly cut a very imposing figure, and the lieutenant in her gown certainly draws many an eye. So much so that the two footmen who follow along behind them are basically lost in the curiosity of those observing. The group is brought to the entrance of the courtyard, and they are introduced by a crier as the captain, the lieutenant, and the analyst of the mercenary company, the Crest. There are murmurs by those assembled, as some are surprised that there are mercenaries present at this party, while there are also knowing looks from some of the other guests, who assume that the mercenaries have been hired by Baccio di Fara as a show of his wealth and power. In fact, with the goings on over the last few weeks with the Vidala family and the tumult that that caused, the political capital of the Crest is on the rise. And no one knows that the Crest is currently employed by the Shade. As Ben is looking around this party, he sees a number of nobles and other high-ranking merchants in the city. And he may actually know some of these people because of his upbringing. So let's go ahead and roll on the fate chart and ask the fate chart. Does Ben know any of these people here assembled? I think the answer is very likely. I'm not going to say it's so far as a sure thing or a near sure thing, because I think he's been gone long enough that some of the makeup of the nobility that would be invited to this party may have changed. And honestly, some of the people that he knew might not be old enough or powerful enough in their family to have been invited to this party. So let's find out. So we're going to call it very likely. Chaos rank of 7. 91, which is a yes. Yes, he does recognize a number of folks. Now here's the tricky question. Do any of those assembled here recognize him? And I'm going to say it's very unlikely in this case, because he looks fairly different than he did when he was a student before he went off to his military service. So I'm going to say it's very unlikely. Chaos rank of 7. 13 is a no. So none of them recognize him. So as he is walking behind the captain, the lieutenant, and the analyst, he is looking around. He sees a few people that he recognizes, a few people that he knows and actually like might know him. But when one of them looks in his direction and Ben kind of, you know, tilts his head slightly in that way that you do when you're trying to avoid being seen by someone, that person's gaze just passes right over him and he is unnoticed. They continue making their way through the party, and there are people all around talking and laughing and sharing drinks. Ben catches a glimpse of red hair and glances over to see if he recognizes Erdira, but it's not Erdira. It's a slightly older woman than Erdira. Erdira is probably in her mid-20s, much like Ben. This woman is in maybe her late 30s. But there is something in the features that reminds him of Erdira. And she also has that red hair. And she is dressed very finely. It's that very wealthy sort of clothing where the clothes don't look ostentatious or outrageous. They're relatively simple, but they are so finely made and so pristinely cared for that they can be nothing more than the clothes of an extremely wealthy and powerful individual. And as Ben is looking over at this woman in this fine dress with this red hair and these features that remind him of Erdira, she turns and, as if feeling this observation on her, meets his eyes, and for a moment he could swear there is a small smile that appears on her face as she meets his gaze, and then her attention is drawn elsewhere. The captain, the lieutenant, and the analyst are busy engaging in the intrigue of the evening and mingling with the other guests at the estate. And Ben and Arid are going to make their way towards the house. Now, where I said before that Ben didn't need to roll in order to make it into the house because there were all sorts of workers coming and going, I think because there is now a party going on, there are more guards on the lookout, and they are going to have to make a roll to make their way into the house without being noticed. So this is going to be a face duress, and I'm only going to roll for Ben here because I think if Ben can make it in, he can guide Arid in as well. So this is going to be a roll plus steady, which is plus 2 for Ben. Here we go. 8 on the dice plus 2 on the steady is a 10 total. So on a 10 plus, you have achieved what you set out to do. So Ben and Arid wait for their moment. There is dancing going on in the courtyard. And I think it's around this point that they see Bakio Defara take the hand of that red-haired woman. And they step out onto the dance floor and begin to dance. And there's a murmur in the crowd as eyes are drawn to this pair dancing to the music. And there is drink aplenty. There are many, many people milling about talking. Those who are not observing this dancing are in the midst of gossiping. There are people who are headed off to explore the hedges for one reason or another. And Ben and Arid are able to make their way to one of the side entrances of the estate, and they make their way inside without being seen. When they reach the door to the main room of the estate, to the gallery where all of Bakio Defara's prized possessions are displayed, there are definitely guards here. That is unquestioning. Are they going to be able to get past those guards quietly to get in? And I think this is where Ben turns to Arid and says, I think with a distraction I could knock the guard unconscious, but if you have a better idea, I would be more than happy to hear it. Arid says, I think I have just the thing. And he is going to focus once again on his arcane power, and he is going to harness the unspeakable power to try and cause this guard to become distracted in some way. So this is going to be plus arcane. I've got 2d6. Hopefully they roll better than they have in the past for Arid. And here we go. Let's find out. 7 on the dice plus 2 is a 9. So on a hit, you may change the world in some minor but tangible way. On a 7 to 9, the MC will also hold one and may spend it on one of the following. The power knows what you're doing and why you're doing it. The power asks for something minor in return. The power requests some small show of loyalty. Okay, so I'm going to take that hold one, and I am going to say that Arid is focusing. And actually, let's go over to the magic table and let's roll on the effects and see what we get. Let's go, could go horribly awry. So a 2 and a 3. A 2 and a 3 is physical effect and ethereal form. So the physical effect is going to be a 3 and a 4, which is hindering. So that's okay. And the ethereal form is a 4 and a 4, which is a nexus. Okay. So I think what this looks like is Arid focuses on his talent within, and he reaches out with his power to this guard. And the guard begins shaking his head as if suddenly he has developed a massive headache. And there's just this look of fogginess that crosses over the guard's face. And he stumbles to the side and like rests his hand on the wall as he's covering his face with his other hand, trying to shake off this fog that is suddenly clouding his mind. Arid looks at Ben and nods, and the two of them walk forward. They walk directly past the guard and open the doors behind. Do we think these doors are locked? Is Bakio keeping this area locked, waiting for a time when he can come and reveal his prize possessions to his guests? Let's ask the fate chart. I think it's 50-50 on whether or not this is unlocked. So this is a chaos factor of 7, 50-50. 32 is a yes. Yes, it is unlocked. So the guards are the block here. The guards are the thing that are keeping people out. And for the moment, Arid has stymied this guard. So they walk past, and the guard is completely unaware that they are there as these two thieves walk past, open the door. Ben sort of smiles a little bit as he realizes that the door is unlocked. And they slip into the main gallery. Inside this gallery, there are so many pieces of art on display. And is there a general theme to these pieces of art? Let's roll action subject, see if that gives us an idea. 14, abandon. And 14, abandon peace. Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, so I think abandon peace doesn't necessarily mean war so much as I think all of these pieces in here are meant to unsettle the viewer. And that makes sense for why this artifact of Vargosh is the main element in this room, because it is very unsettling. And so there are war masks on the walls that are splattered in blood and viscera that have dried over the years. There are bones that have been like broken and crumbled and are set up on display as a way to exemplify the fragility of life. There are a couple of pieces that are representative of the fall of Alfheim, a true loss of peace when the shrouding came and covered that great island nation. There is a plate that is bronze and is oxidized and has turned that bluish green, and it is sitting there, and there's some relief on it that shows a symbol of a house from Alfheim. There are pieces of glass, of sea glass, that look as though they are large pieces of some sort of lens that have now been bathed in the sea, and their edges have been worn away, and they are on display every now and then, catching the glint of the firelight and refracting it across the room. But more importantly, there is the artifact of Vargosh in the middle of the room. And now we have a very important question to ask, which is, with the combined magical power of Lefalia and Arid and the other few mages that are part of the crest, could they have created some forgery that could be swapped out for this artifact? And I think it is... I'm going to say it is very unlikely. In fact, I'm going to say there's no way that they could have created a forgery good enough to actually fool anyone. So our cast rank is 7. No way that they could have created a forgery that would fool Bakio Defara and any others who were observing this very unsettling, very strange artifact. But just because it's no way doesn't mean that the possibility of getting a yes is zero. So let's find out if, in fact, they were able to. Here we go. 72, which is a no. No, they were not. Because they weren't able to make a forgery that would be able to replace this, they are going to steal it, and Bakio Defara is going to know that it has been stolen. And so in order for this to work, I think part of the plan is that they have to get it out of the estate, but they can't leave themselves. They have to stay with the group and leave together, because otherwise there are going to be questions asked about why the crest brought 5 people and is only leaving with 3. So we know that going forward. So Ben and Arid are looking at this thing, and the stones are beginning to whisper again. And I think Arid looks very uncomfortable. And Ben, looking over at him, says, "You hear it as well?" Arid nods and says, "I do. And I do not particularly enjoy this." "No, I don't either. I think we should get this over with as quickly as possible." "I agree. Those runes look interesting. Let me get closer and investigate." And he is going to walk up and is going to study those runes. And I think this is a great opportunity to roll Whisper into the Unspeakable Power. So when you ask a question of or seek guidance from the supernatural, roll plus arcane. On a hit, the MC will pick one of the following. So I'm going to roll 2d6 and add plus 2. 7 on the dice plus 2 is a 9. So on a hit, which this is, it is going to be have a brief vision, hear a faint voice, have a curious sensation. So Arid is studying these runes, and I think he has a brief vision of hands carrying this artifact in a box into this room. And he can't see who these hands belong to, but the hands reach over and open the box, and the artifact floats up out of the box and settles on this display that is in this pedestal. And then that hand closes the box and slowly, carefully draws these runes on the marble base of this pedestal, and like fire, they're inscribed into the marble as the hand completes its movements. Arid says,
They are warding runes, which we already knew, but they are very interesting because not only does this keep the magic of this artifact inside, it could also alert the wielder of the magic that created it when we release it. We must be very careful here. Ben says, can you disable it without alerting whoever it is? I will do my best, my friend. Is there anything I can do to help? Arad says, perhaps. I will have you look at the runes as I perform my spell, and if they are changing in any way, you will tell me. Ben nods and says, very well, let's do this. And they are going to begin attempting to break the seal on this protection so that they can get into and steal this artifact. Ben is going to attempt to help Arad. And to do that, because he's using his intelligence, we are going to roll plus sly. So this is 2d6 plus a sly of 2. And if he gets a success, he will be able to help Arad. 4 plus 2 is a 6, so he is not able to assist. We will see what the actual effect is for Arad here before I determine how much that hurts. So the harness the unspeakable power is again what we're going to do, as Arad is attempting to unravel the runes of protection that are guarding this artifact. And he is going to attempt to open the way for them. 2d6 plus 2. 10 on the dice plus 2 is a 12. So that is a complete success, and he is able to make the runes slowly break apart. And I think Ben is watching them, but he doesn't really know what to look for. And so he's not able to really help Arad, but I think because of how well Arad rolled, it's also not going to hinder him necessarily. So they manage to make the runes dissipate. And there's almost immediately this sudden shift in the air as this low thrum begins to sound as out into the room. And Ben and Arad can both feel the pull of this power trying to overwhelm them. And they're both going to have to make rolls here. I think for Ben, it's going to be another face duress plus steady. But I think for Arad, it is going to be another plus arcane. Because I think for him, he has the ability to sort of shield his mind from these sorts of effects. And I think he's going to try and do that. So for Ben, face duress, plus 2. 6 on the dice, plus 2 is an 8. So that is a hit. But I will either achieve your goal, but it'll come at a price. Achieve your goal, but only partially. You cannot achieve your goal, but can do something similar instead. So I'm going to go with actually achieve your goal, but only partially. And so his goal here was to resist this magical effect. He resists it enough that he still has control over his faculties. But I think that it is going to leave an imprint on Ben that is going to cause him nightmares and, you know, other possible downsides and effects later on. For Arad, it is plus arcane here. 9 on the dice plus 2 is an 11, so he is able to shield his mind completely and defend himself from the onslaughts of this artifact. I think part of the partial success for Ben is that he is in control of his faculties in general, but he does actually reach out and grab the artifact. He grabs this knot with this eye in it that's weeping out this sap before Arid can tell him to stop. And Ben picks it up, and there's this like searing pain in his hand as I think dark veins begin to rise out of his hand as his fingers and the skin almost begins to die from this necrosis, and he grunts and groans and takes this small box that he had secreted on his person and stuffs it in there and shuts the box, and he quickly begins like trying to wipe off the sap that got on his hand that is causing his fingers to curl up into this claw. And he's like groaning a little bit. Arid quickly like tears off a piece of cloth and is wiping it off. And I think Ben just groans and says, "That was maybe not my best idea." To which Arid says, "I can't believe you did that. That was so foolish. It could have killed you." "I don't know what came over me. I'm sorry." "It is all right. I think you will be fine. Your hand should heal with time. Let's focus on getting this out of here." And they are going to make their way back out. Now, I think in order to get this out of here, they had planned to head to the roof and from there be able to see over the hedge where Iron Gall and a couple other crests are stationed, and they are going to send this box down to the crest on the outside of the hedge. So can they make it up to the roof without being seen? I think this is going to be another face duress from Ben. This is plus steady, plus 2. A 10 on the dice plus 2 is a 12 for another complete success. So they manage to make their way up to the roof of the Defara estate. And Arid, looking down, sees the crest on the other side of the hedge. And he takes the box in his hands and he focuses on it. And the box rises up out of his hands and begins to float down towards the hedge. And as it crosses over the hedge threshold, does anything happen? Because we know that there is a presence that has been observing Arid, maybe not fully awake or alert, but at least somewhat aware of the mage. Does that presence sense what is happening with this artifact? I think it is unlikely, just because they have so thoroughly succeeded at stealing this artifact and taking it to the roof, that I think they've done a pretty good job of staying under the radar. So I think it's unlikely. Still could be a yes. Chaos rank of 7. 13 is a yes. So yes, it does notice. And I think what this looks like is as that box crosses over the threshold of the hedge and drops into Iron Gall's hands, Arid suddenly goes, "No, it is awakening." And Ben looks at him and says, "What is awakening?" Arid turns and looks at Ben and says, "The presence that I detected before. It is stirring, and I don't think it's all that happy that we stole that." Ben looks at Arid and says, "Well, we've done our part. Let's get back to the party and inform the captain. If we're lucky, we can stay out of whatever this thing's sight is long enough to get out of here." Arid looks back at Ben and says, "I hope you are right. If not, I think this party is about to get much more interesting." Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures, and thanks so much to Sirenscape for the lovely ambient sounds and music throughout the episode. If you enjoyed the show, please tell anyone and everyone in your life about it. And if you haven't already, please rate and review the show on your favorite podcast app. It really does help others find me. If you want to interact with me, my handle on Instagram and Twitter is @ErrantSolopod, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post short fiction and campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.